Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, recording on Tuesday, the 22nd of January at 9:50 p.m. Apologies for that late recording, which I'm afraid was unavoidable today. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. We had pandemonium in Asian stock markets in the form of selling pressure, and also Europe. Then the U.S. futures were way down, and then, as you have probably heard, the Fed moved forward its rate cuts and sliced 0.75 point, 75 basis points, in other words, off the federal funds rate, taking it down to 3.5%. That triggered a rebound, a big rebound, some volatility. And we had the European markets closing mostly with gains, and some pretty chunky gains. The UK FTSE index, for instance, up 2.9%. But mind you, it was down 7% yesterday, I believe. But good gains generally. Looking at markets such as Brazil, up nearly 4.5%. Mexico, up over 6%. Canada, up over 4%. The U.S. still closed down. Remember, it was closed yesterday, but closed way off the lows, and the declines were in the order of just over 1% for the Dow and the S&P, 2 for the NASDAQ composite index. Now, government bonds, we saw weakness in the European markets, strength in the U.S. contracts still. That's quite interesting, sharp divergence there. And sorry, in terms of the commodity markets, we had some sharp reactions continuing through Asia in the precious metals and in the industrial metals, and then the big bounce back. And we have gold, for instance, at this very moment, trading at 892.20. And that's kind of been the sort of action we've seen today. Lesser gains for silver, but March silver at the moment is trading at 1612. So it makes my defensive closing of some metal positions yesterday, other than the ones that have been stopped out, look. Clearly a mistake, much too cautious. But I expect further volatility in there. Indeed, it's not a bad idea to bet on volatility almost anywhere. I can just check the VIX index, which did not register anything yesterday because of markets being closed. So this is interesting. It got up to a high of 37.5, and I think that's just about exactly the high that we had seen in August, yes, in mid-August, and then closed back down at 31.01. Still up on the day, but well off that spike high. And the commodity markets were roiled. The grain and bean complex stayed weaker during the day. They've looked a bit overextended recently, as you know, and I think we're in a corrective phase. Crude oil had slumped down to 85.42, then bounced back up, but closed down 85 cents at 89.70. Okay. Industrial metals mostly up today. The exception was tin, which closed down a little bit, but well off its lows. Actually, I see the U.S. copper market closed down 3.55, but again, that's nearly 12 points above its low on the day. Now, so what's going on here? Well, the Fed, having been criticized by myself and others for being behind the curve of events for so long and putting out confused or ambivalent or mixed statements, made an attempt to catch up, responding to the crisis atmosphere in the markets. Thank heavens for yesterday's holiday, which gave them time to think about what was going on and to bring forward a rate cut and to make it larger than was anticipated. And that's done the trick in terms of calming nerves here in the short term. As I've said in my copy, which I haven't posted yet, it's a big pity that they didn't do that at the beginning of the year, or better yet, back in November. But they didn't, and we have to deal with what's happened. But it's a pity they didn't do it back then, because if they had done that before markets broke down, so many markets broke down through their August lows, I think the damage would have been a lot less. And I also think that given the fundamental problems that we have with the banking sectors, that and the whole credit derivative story, that the damage to the economy is that much greater for the Fed's delay, with a knock-on effect generally. But in the short term, we've got big tails on the charts. In other words, prices closed well off their lows. And from a very practical, disciplined, technical perspective, I think we can now say that first, that closes beneath today's lows. And I think we can apply this to the Asian markets as well, because I would certainly expect a bounce tomorrow. So closes beneath today's lows would be required to reaffirm the downtrends and indicate renewed vulnerability. My view is that we will get a technical rally. We may get some choppy action. We are beneath top formations in most of these indices, or if they don't have top formations, they've got the type 2 extremely sharp reactions against the prevailing trends, which break the upward momentum. So we can expect some choppy action overall, but I have been saying that the action was climactic, and with the selling that we saw yesterday and earlier today certainly is climactic, and therefore we will see at least a technical rally. And in other words, I expect those lows to hold for at least the near term, and that's a conservative assessment. I think the Fed needs to do more. I'd like to see them chop another 50 basis points off the Fed funds rate relatively quickly. I'd like to see the Bank of England make a very sharp rate cut, chop 100 points off. You know, it's the old business. Said it so many times, it's a good old adage. Raise interest rates like an escalator, in other words, gradually, and cut them like an elevator. Just you need to do this to prevent sentiment from deteriorating too rapidly, with a knock-on economic effect. So we're back into rally mode. We've got some very intriguing looking price levels and some of the fuller money themes. If you happen to agree with me and happen to feel that they are appropriate for your portfolio, for instance, I bought some Rio Tinto here today in my trading account. I'm not adding money to my pension funds, and I can't add money to my ISA accounts until after the 6th of April. But I'm certainly willing to take some positions in my trading account, and I've done so, and will continue to do so, looking for a rebound, albeit in a choppy overall environment. Moving on to the government bonds. I'm not quite sure why we had this digression, not diversion rather, between the European prices and the US prices, particularly presumably some people think that the economic risks are just that much greater in the US, and they're probably right in that. Although I think there are certainly economic risks in the UK economy. I think also the what I should have mentioned, I don't think I mentioned it in the highlights here, is that inevitably the dollar took a hit in here today on this rate cut. Now, the dollar had been firm in the last few days until today, as you know, as had the yen. And I attributed that not to fundamental factors, but to the unwinding of leveraged carry trade positions, both the yen in particular, but then also in the last year or so, the US dollar had been used as carry trades because they had weak trends and the interest rate trend was favorable and the US rates were coming down. At least from August onwards, they were coming down. So, with this additional reduction in US interest rates and with stock markets steadying, that has put the dollar back onto a weaker footing, albeit very much within its range against most currencies. And certainly in US dollar index terms, but it fell back. It's currently down 604 ticks. That puts it at 76.26, sort of right smack in the middle of its overall range. Now, this is not unusual. Currencies spend most of their time ranging, and they even in a trending market, they will gradually either range higher or range lower, but my forecast for the dollar here against most currencies, and then for the dollar index specifically, is that we will continue to see further ranging activity. And I would not be surprised to see the dollar go down and test its lows, though, against a number of these currencies, particularly Asian emerging market currencies. And I do not expect the big recovery that so many firms have been forecasting for the US dollar, because I don't see it. I don't see it in the economic data. I don't see it in the supply. In other words, there are an awful lot of dollars floating around out there, and more are coming on stream all the time. Fed rate cuts, pumping money into the markets to try to get bank loan rates down, trying to get the banks to lend again. Stimulus package coming up. Here, all of these factors, I think, are bearish for the US dollar and will keep it very much in check. The exceptions will be when it gets oversold and is due for a technical rally, and in terms of if it falls very sharply, then you expect a bit of a bounce back. And also, if we were to see stock markets plunge again, I don't think that's a short-term risk now, but if we were to see stock markets plunge again, then you get more carry trade unwinding, and that tends to push the green back up temporarily. Now, that softer dollar, and if we're not getting a heavy just or continued heavy process of deleveraging by investors and traders, then the environment for precious metals will be quite attractive once again, and I think that's exactly what we're going to see. Again, we may get some more volatility, but I maintain that these precious metals are a buy on reactions, and that's what I should have done yesterday, rather than rather nervously closing out of some additional positions. But I will not be out of the precious metals for very long. And I do expect them to move considerably higher over the medium to longer term, and they might not do badly in the short term either. Industrial metals will lag the gains in precious metals because of concerns over global GDP growth. I think those concerns are greatly exaggerated. People look at the US economy and they're appalled, rightly so for the most part, although I would point out, as I have on so many other occasions, that US multinational companies that derive a very large portion of their earnings from overseas, they're coining it right now. And I don't think we're going to see enough of a global slowdown to dent that outlook very much. So they're doing well, but that's the export foreign side of the US economy, if you will, not the domestic side of the US economy and not the banks. Again, we need to keep an eye on those bank shares. If they head lower again, you could rightly conclude that we were going to see a not very strong technical rally in stock markets affected generally. I would look now for a fairly sharp bounce back by some of the favored fuller money themes, such as India, and I wouldn't write off the possibility that we do actually get that BHP Rio link up. So again, a lot of interesting situations out there in a good many markets. Brazil looks interesting, although it did break down out of due to the general contagion. The Brazil index did break down out of its trading range, which it needs to push back up into that. Signal downside failure. Actually, all these indices need to push back up into their prior trading ranges. Those are some medium-sized top formations on a number of the European indices and on U.S. indices, but they need to do that to really signal that we have seen quite a significant low. At the moment, I'm going to stick with my view that we've seen a low of at least near-term significance. Is terminology you've heard me use before. It's a conservative comment, but again, if we can count on some further rate cuts and stimulus package rate cuts in other countries, then I think we will conclude that a pretty important low was reached in the first quarter of 2008, and hopefully in the first month of 2008. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.